www.thebigradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Buy everything, damn it. I'm TLD.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is me. It is TLD coming to you live right now here on blogtalkradio.com. It's been a phenomenal show. Whew, it's been one heck of an evening. I'm hoping everyone can hear me because I'm not sure if I can or not. But boy, it was an incredible night. I have to say, from TLC, WWE's pay-per-view, the final pay-per-view of the year. Very, very, very happy with the results at the end of the show. But not only that, but because it was a wonderful, wonderful show. I hope people are hearing me. Please call into the show. Again, our number is 760-888-5749. We will take your calls. I had a caller in the queue, but disappeared, so you ruined yourself from actually being on the show. But please definitely call back. We have 1 hour of time tonight. Please go to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. I'm sorry, I'm just so out of it tonight. I apologize. ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com to check out all the great articles. I'm sure that'll be written for tomorrow. Definitely a great, great evening of wrestling. Also, check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. Definitely a wonderful, wonderful page to check out. See all the wrestling fans talking about pro wrestling, and I'm sure they will talk to them tonight. And going into Monday's Slammy Awards. Ladies and gentlemen, it was, again, I couldn't say a great, great job by all the wrestlers tonight. We're going to go over everything that happened on the show. But again, we do need your support. We do need your help. Definitely go. Call me in, 760-888-5749. And, of course, for your holiday greetings, you have to go to our Amazon store at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We have an Amazon store. Support us by actually purchasing some items for your holiday, and you can get them delivered to your door courtesy of PWP. And if you can't listen to this show, we have it on iTunes. So you can go on iTunes, and you can download the show, look us up, add us. You can actually see previous shows that we have. We've had so many different shows, at least 40 or 50 shows, that you can hear us talking about many, many different things, and that goes all the way back to SummerSlam. So please check us out on iTunes. But now it is time to go over the show's card in its entirety. And it was a pretty impact show. You know, a lot of people were afraid with CM Punk not being on the card. People were afraid things were not going to turn out great. People would say it was predictable or not, but, you know, I don't think it was predictable this year, at least in some ways. Some people thought it would go differently, and it clearly did not. So it clearly went a total different direction, showcasing the younger talent in the company. And it was clearly showing that direction tonight on who was the top dog on this show. So let's start off with the pre-show. We had a Santa's Little Helpers Battle Royal to determine the number one contendership for the Divas title. That would happen later on in the evening. The only diva that was not really in that was AJ, clearly, because obviously if she was in it, she probably would have won that. But Naomi is the winner. Naomi, of course, is with the Funkasaurus, which we have not really seen much of him lately. But Naomi wins that Battle Royal on the YouTube show. It's always good to check out the YouTube show. It does have some impact for the remainder of the TLC show. Clearly, Naomi became the number one contender for the championship later on in the night. Going forward to the actual show, one thing that was very classic of the WWE, knowing that they are in Connecticut, and obviously we all know about the Newtown shootings, WWE did a special 26 bell salute for all the victims on the show. Very classy way for WWE to start that pay-per-view with the 26 bells in Brooklyn, New York. Couldn't have been more classy than that. It was a really, really wonderful way to start off, and I think it was definitely got to be proud from the WWE, knowing that they're not too far from Newtown and knowing how that has affected that state and the world, to give, you know, that special salute. And I think that was classy of that company too. So that's one thing I wanted to bring up. And obviously, PWP lends its hearts out to all those people. I do have family friends out there who actually live in that town. So it was a pretty scary moment in our family to hope that no one that we knew passed, and we're very fortunate that they did not, nothing happened, which is great. But of course, a lot of bad things happened, and we hope to get through that, especially with this holiday time and Sandy. It's just been a really crazy last couple months in the East, that's for sure. So going forward with the TLC pay-per-view, we opened up the show with Team Rhodes Scholars of Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow versus Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. And the winners would have been the number one contenders for the tag team titles. So Rhodes Scholars pulled out the victory, and it was a pretty good match. You know, it was a tables match, and one person had to go through the table. Great, great contest between all those guys. They always performed and definitely set the tone for the remainder of the show. It was a strong showing by Rhodes Scholars, definitely getting the heat on the crowd, but the crowd also really enjoying Rhodes Scholars. I think, you know, when you come to Brooklyn, you come to the East Coast, you tend to hear a different crowd when it normally anywhere else. And that's because in the Northeast, we kind of have this, you know, we feel like we're the smarter fans, or we know who are the talented guys that should be going over. And Team Rhodes Scholars was getting a couple chances here and there. But Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara were also getting chances. And I think it was overall a great show for those two teams, and Team Rhodes Scholars did win after pushing Sin Cara off the top rope into the tables after he was trying to do some kind of moonsault into the ring, but failed when he was just pushed out of the ring and landed right into the table. So Team Rhodes Scholars goes forward, even though Cody Rhodes has that ridiculous mustache. But it's the little things, I guess, that gets you over, right? Facial hair seems to be a very strong facial hair for the WWE this year. You know, we got the goat faces, and we got Cody Rhodes, and there's more out there. Even Damian Sandow's got a weird-looking chin. But anyway, moving forward to the second match of the evening was Antonio Cesaro going against R-Truth. It was for the United States heavyweight title, and Antonio Cesaro did pull out the victory on that match. Not too many, some people have heard on the radio show, I'm not too much of an Antonio Cesaro fan. This match, actually, I was really enjoying. I really did enjoy the contest. I thought it was really great. It was definitely what you could expect from the match. And pretty much you knew that that was going to pretty much happen. And Cesaro wins, and R-Truth, I looked at his Twitter, he had a very nasty cut on his knee. Very nasty, actually. And this was just one of the many scars and bruises from this pay-per-view. Very, you know, you think Extreme Rules was extreme. I think TLC put it to shame tonight with all the different cuts and bruises that people had in the rest of the night. But Antonio Cesaro wins, still keeps the United States title. You know, gets a little heat on the Brooklyn crowd. You know, people have to get over that way. And it was good. So Antonio Cesaro defeats him, and that was for the United States Championship. I just tweeted out that if you want to join the show, it's PWP Radio. Make sure you contact us at 760-888-5749, and you will get to be a part of the co-host of the show. I'm waiting for one caller to be that special co-host, and you can call in. Coming up next was the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship of the World, which doesn't make any sense because it's an intercontinental, but you get my drift. It was Kofi Kingston going against Wade Barrett. And Kofi Kingston surprisingly wins that match and defeats Wade Barrett. A lot of people did not think that Kofi Kingston would pull that off. And this was a great contest between these two individuals. Wade Barrett definitely looks strong going into the show. But before I continue, I have a caller on the line. I will answer this call, and you will be the co-host. It is 860. You are now live. Please call in, state your name, and where you're from.
Nate from Connecticut.
Hey, Nate from Connecticut. How you doing this evening?
Good, good.
You are the official co-host of the show.
Cool. Yeah, I do a show, too, Inside Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio, too, so.
Excellent. Thanks for calling into the show. First time calling us?
No, I called before. One other time I was in the chat room, too.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Nate, for calling in. So I already went over a couple matches, and I want to get your input on the two, three matches I've already kind of discussed. We're going to go back to Team Road Scholars and Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. Can you tell me a little bit about how you felt how that match went?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a very good match, a nice little finish, Sin Cara going through the table. I mean, I like this Team Road Scholars. I mean, I see, like, big things for these guys, you know, making a tag team title run. And, you know, I thought overall it was a pretty good match to start the pay-per-view.
What I did like about the match that it was nice with the finish, how he pushed him into the table where it didn't look like he didn't really technically put him through a table, where he kind of just pushed him into it. Kind of like where the Sheamus thing happened years back and Sheamus won the WWE Championship. It kind of had that feeling. So it didn't really hurt them too much. And Road Scholar is definitely going to be a team going forward, even though we had that little setback with Cody Rhodes' injury.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, like I said, hopefully they stay healthy, you know. So, but yeah, definitely big things for this team in 2013 going forward.
I could definitely see this team staying on track for a while. Moving on, we're going to talk about Antonio Cesaro and R-Truth. Talk about how that match went.
Yeah, I mean, pretty good. But, I mean, I'm seeing Antonio Cesaro. I mean, like I was saying on my show about Jack Swagger coming back into the mix soon. So I can see a build up, you know, no one can beat me, no American can beat me. So, I mean, Jack Swagger coming back, I can see a few down the line. So, I mean, I knew R-Truth probably wasn't going to win this match, but I mean, R-Truth's good, but it seems like he's more of a tag team role now than a singles competitor. But I mean, it was a good match. Antonio Cesaro was very impressive, but I mean, the finish wasn't really that great.
Well,
for the match.
Yeah, I mean, like, everyone kind of knew R-Truth was not going to win this contest. I mean, he already had a match the month before and was unable to beat him. And it was kind of the same idea. You know, I think it was a way to put R-Truth on the show. He has some merit to, you know, in the New York, Northeast area, he's known very well there. You know, I think it was good to put him on. But Antonio Cesaro is a strong heel. I do still question the what he could do with the anti-American role where, I don't know, I just seen it so many times where I need something different when I see him. And I think tonight he kind of impressed me with this match. I thought it was one of the better matches that really didn't put me to sleep sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me, I was thinking today, like Ludwig Borga, how America stinks and this and that and crime and pollution. It seems like Antonio Cesaro has like a little twist to that old character back in the day. Just a little bit, but not much.
I would have to say that is kind of – I actually would say I agree with that. Actually, that's a very good comparison, Nate. Well done. I would say that's a pretty good one. Cesaro has more fame than Ludwig Borga. I mean, obviously, he passed away. Actually, we found out he passed away of a suicide. You know, hopefully he doesn't go the same path. Anyway, Kofi Kingston against Wade Barrett. Now, I'm sure a lot of people thought Wade Barrett would win this contest. It was geared up for that. Since he did not win that match, do you think that works? And if not, why?
Yeah, it works. I mean, they can always have a rematch. Maybe even just not on a like Royal Rumble, but maybe on a SmackDown, a rematch, and then maybe Wade Barrett will get the win. Because I mean, they can always stretch it out. You know, they like stretching out rematch clauses. But I mean, I still see Wade Barrett, you know, going for a world title run. But I mean, IC title run will be okay. But, I mean, I see Wade Barrett getting some big things in 2013. But, I mean, it works for right now.
Well, I think Kofi kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit ever since he won the belt. He got some good notoriety when he won it. And now Wade Barrett came in, kind of put him down a lot. In fact, you know, Kofi lost to Antonio Cesaro on Raw, and he lost a lot of matches. I think Kofi was starting to lose a lot of steam. And I think he proved tonight, and this match I thought was one of the best matches on the card, that, you know, Kofi winning that match and looked strong at the ending. And overall, I thought I liked that match a lot. I was very involved in that match where I just couldn't take my eyes away from it. I think it was really good. And the crowd was very hot for Barrett. And as knowing a Brooklyn and Northeastern crowd, usually the heels do get cheers. You know, I mean, one thing about the I know from Connecticut that we have a strong, loyal following to pro wrestling because it's been here forever. And we voice our opinions quite loud. And this was one of the matches I think that happened. Do you see Kofi getting any hurt from that?
I see Kofi holding it kind of hurts his character. Yeah, I mean, especially like the wrestlers, how they like the heel character. I mean, I'm more a fan of the heel characters in the tweener roles than straight up faces. But yeah, I mean, it kind of hurts them. I don't know, because I was so used to him being in a tag team role with R-Truth and then all of a sudden singles. So, I mean, he's a good competitor, but I mean, I don't know. He's just like, he is kind of lost in the mix right now.
Well, I think they'll do something with him that's, you know, special, hopefully going forward. And if Wade Barrett is primed to win it, then great. You know, I think going into, you know, our WrestleMania, we could see Wade Barrett with the gold or at least walk out with it. You know, they got to do something with that Intercontinental title to make it strong. The six-man tag match, The Shield versus Team Hell No. And Ryback, might I add. I'm sorry. Almost left him out of it. This match, I got to say, I tweeted out earlier saying that this was probably the best six-man tag team match I've ever watched in my entire life. Because the amount of violence, the amount of strategy, ring psychology put into this match really shows how, you know, the WWE really is behind the Shield. And the way that the whole match went down from beginning to end, you could not plan a better match than what they put on that match. Nate, I would love to have a nice long discussion about this. Tell me your opinion about that match.
I thought it was probably the match of the night. It was a great brawl match. I mean, Seth Rollins taking that bump through the table off the ladder. Kane getting buried with the chairs and tables, Spanish announce table. You know, when they show the Spanish announcers, it's all over. You know their table's getting smashed at the end of the night or something. But, I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, I'm glad the Shield won because they have to remain strong. They can't lose their first match. And plus, I mean, Ryback, he can't lose too. So, I mean, Daniel Bryan taking the loss is acceptable in the match. And it's great to see the Shield win. But, yeah, definitely was a great brawl match. Probably the match of the night, I would think, my opinion.
Oh, I think that most opinions are going to say that this is the match of the night. In fact, most people are going to be mad that this wasn't the main event of the night. You know, and surprisingly, CM Punk did not get involved, and he was in the crowd. He did make his appearance but did not get involved, which I think a lot of people might have thought he would. They let the Shield be the Shield, and they stuck with the storyline of CM Punk not affiliating himself at all with that association of the Shield. There were some great spots in the match. And a couple I want to point out was right back going through the table again. It's a spot where the Shield is known for to put him through the table. It took Ryback out of most of the match. But the whole mentality of the Shield is that they have 3-on-2 almost every part of the match, which to me shows how strong a stable is by doing that. And that's one thing about pro wrestling is you have to be able to use ring psychology to make sense in the situation. And this was one of those where that worked very well. I mean, do you think that CM Punk should have gotten involved, or do you think it was just fine the way it was?
No, it was fine the way it was. Have him do a little interview in the press box, keep him out, you know, keep the speculation that he's not aligned with him or anything. But, I mean, But, I mean, definitely, the way the Shield was, how they fought in that match, it was great how they broke it up and two-on-one attacks and, you know, neutralizing one guy. I mean, it was great for the Shield how they worked the match, definitely.
And for those who did not watch the show, they did come through the crowd. They kept that little mentality of coming through the crowd, using their little camera now. They're using, like, their camera skills by just holding up to a camera and then putting it down in the crowd. It's a very great – this so far has really got not too many flaws, I would say. It's been going very well. They look the same. You know, two guys are in the ring beating up one guy while the other one's surrounding the ring to make sure no one gets in the ring. I mean, these are just simple tactics that any tag team or stable could always use, and they're using them to a T in this match. And some of the bumps they took, and even Ryback, I would even say, came out really strong in this match by going through each one. Every time it was just the three of them and one of them, when he came back strong, he looked really strong coming back with the double suplex on the chair. You know, I mean, it was pretty impressive. I have to say, would you say Ryback got a lot of boost tonight based on?
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, Dean Ambrose's face when he went to the double suplex.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, I got to watch more videos of this guy, but he seemed like a character. I mean, I see, you know, good things for the Shield. But, yeah, definitely Ryback still looks strong. I mean, he couldn't take the loss in this match, I don't think, but he still looks strong in this match.
Well, no matter who would have won or lost, by the time it was, like, pretty much in the middle of the match where I saw Ryback coming back, the Shield, to me, already proved who they are. And even if they lost, I think I still would have been – I would have said, you know what, it didn't hurt them because, one, they're going to have the match of the night, and, two, people are going to talk about this match for the next couple days because it was that good, and the crowd was just so into that match. You know, the crowd was I can't remember the last time I saw a crowd standing the entire time for a match, and they almost did it throughout the entire match. It was pretty impressive to see that too. What would you say the crowd had a lot to do with it?
Oh yeah, the crowd was great. I mean, I like the crowds, you know, in cities like, you know, New York and like Chicago. They're so great in like wrestling fans. So yeah, definitely the crowd was really hot, especially in the final match with Cena and Dolph Ziggler. But I mean, yeah, all night. I mean, it seemed like the crowd was really into it.
It really upsets me that I am only about an hour and a half away from that arena, and I did not go. And I could have gone, but Jay was being Jay rather gone to Monday Night Raw tomorrow night than go to a pay per view. Which, by the way, he's probably gonna, you know, when he gets pissed off that he didn't, when he watches it, he's gonna be really pissed off he didn't go to the show. So I'm really hoping that when he calls in Tuesday for our other show, which we do have on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock. I hope he calls in and basically hits himself in the head saying, hey, Will, you were right. I should have went to that show. And we didn't have the WWE champion fight on the show, which I think makes it even more memorable that that happened. And I would have to say this match could have been a match of the year candidate if it wasn't at the end. What would you say to that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Falling in December, yeah, it's kind of hard, the match of the year. But, yeah, definitely if it wasn't towards, you know, the middle of the year, yeah, definitely would have been a candidate for match of the year.
And even I would say Daniel Bryan did a great job. All six of them really, honestly, did a great job. And I forgot who took the very bad bump at the end. I think that was
Daniel Bryan went through the table. He set him up for like a powerbomb kind of move.
Right, but I think
Roman Reigns.
I think wasn't Seth Rollins the one that went through, or was it?
Oh, yeah, Seth Rollins up the ramp, yeah, off the double table, yeah, off the ladder, yep.
Yeah, that was an insane bump that he took. That looked pretty bad from where the angle that we were watching that. Looked pretty serious. On one of those. Okay, so.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, no, I'm just, like, losing a little bit of your signal, that's all.
Well, you know, I'm in the basement. So, anyway, I would love to talk about this match. I could talk about a lot all night just because it was such a great contest. And I would dare to say if anyone did not like the ending of that match or did not watch it and thought it wasn't that great of a match because they thought Ryback should go over, You know, and Ryback was getting a lot of Goldberg chants. You know.
Oh man, I know. Yeah, I'm surprised. No, Mike Cole didn't say anything about that. You know, I was laughing when the Goldberg chants came out.
That I think Ryback's already proven he's not a Goldberg, and he deserves a little bit more respect, I think, than that, because he really is going to be something big one day. And with the crowd chanting Goldberg like that, I just think that it's cheesy. And I would never have chanted the Goldberg chant, because he's already proven to me that he's not Goldberg. And he's more agile than Goldberg, definitely. You know, so, you know, the crowd just chants that way. But then when the end of the night happened, the Feed Me More chants came out. So the Goldberg chants went to Feed Me More chants at the end of the night, proving that I think fans kind of changed their opinion about him while they were watching that match.
Yeah, I think it'll take a while for them to accept Ryback. But, I mean, I think they're slowly trying to accept him, you know. I mean, I think Ryback's still stiff in the ring. He's a little green still, but he's getting there, you know. As long as they can keep him, you know, developing his character more, I think he'll be fine. But, I mean, I would just love it one night Goldberg music plays and they have a match. I'd just love to see that right back in Goldberg. Just to please the fans, but, I mean, I don't think it'll ever happen. Goldberg, I don't think it'll ever come back.
No, because, first off, they're not going to put Goldberg over. No way that would happen. And if Ryback did beat Goldberg, I think those Goldberg chants would completely stop. You know, they would never do him anymore because, you know, he beat the guy who they're chanting, so I don't know what more you could do. But Ryback, I think, will look strong. He's obviously going to be in the Royal Rumble match, I'm sure, this year. And with the Shield, I'm sure, is also going to be involved in that match. I could see Ryback really making a big stand in that contest if he is indeed put in it. So I'm going to take a short little break here. We're going to come right back. I need a drink of water. I'm sure, Nate, you need a drink of water. We're going to play a little TLD theme here. And since you don't know, Nate, I am a pro wrestler as well on the side. And we do have a little TLD theme here. So what we're going to do is play that for 1 minute. Nate, you're going to stick around, right?
Yeah, I'll be right here.
Oh, good. So go get yourself a drink of water. You've earned it. We'll be right back. And let's listen to a little TLD theme music.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
4-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Buy everything, damn it. I'm TLD. Brand new deals that we have at TLDWrestling.com. I love this stuff.
TLD merchandise only available at where? That's right, TLDWrestling.com.
Because I'm a 2001 Golden Gloves Heavyweight Champion.
That's the TLD Fair. It's still around.
All right, look. Here at PWP Radio, we are ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Every week we're trying to do this show with a pay-per-view recap of how you think the show went. It's pretty awesome, I have to say. Loving this show here at Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with the official co-host of the night. His name is N-A-T-E. That is Nate for all you people. And Nate, why don't you tell the fans of PWP a little bit about yourself?
I'm just from Connecticut, a wrestling fan back in, you know, the 80s and stuff, and I mean, that's basically it. I mean, it's kind of harder for me to follow wrestling nowadays. I mean, ever since the WWF bought WCW, I mean, I kind of a little bit lost interest in it. But, I mean, I was a big ECW fan, too, back in the day. But that's all. Just a typical wrestling fan.
And do you have a Twitter handle? You must have a Twitter handle.
Oh, no, I really don't do my Twitter anymore. But I do have a wrestling show, Inside Wrestling, on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And you fans can obviously check out Inside Wrestling. Sounds good. I haven't listened to it. I apologize, Nate. I have never listened to your show because I never heard of your show. But I will definitely listen to it. Because we at Pro Wrestling Powerhouse accept all fans here at the show, including anybody who is interested in teaming up or helping us out. We are going to have the first ever P WP Radio Awards. It's not going to be on the radio. We're actually going to film that TV. The plan is to do it this Friday. We're going to film it, and we're going to get it to you fans on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, which doesn't exist yet. So we can't give you the link, but we will have a show pretty soon to go over the entire 2012. And damn, I wish this was a category for Match of the Year, but we couldn't put that in, a little too late. I'm sure a lot of fans would have changed their minds on their favorite match. Do we have to talk about the Divas match?
Nah, not really. I think that was just a flat match filler. They should have saved that for Raw.
You know what's funny about that? I was trying to look at the Twitter and look. I was eating some dinner while I was doing this match and doing some editing in the background. And I was trying to get ready to do my next posting on the Twitter feed, and the match was already over. So I couldn't even tweet out the Divas match because it was so quickly finished. I was like, oh, okay. That was a short bathroom break, I guess, for all of us. But oh well.
Yeah, a bathroom match, basically.
And you know, it's funny. A lot of people ask for women's wrestling to kind of come back and be strong again. And, you know, we haven't gotten to the ending of the show yet, which we're going to get to. But, you know, I mean, the Divas division is so weak right now, and I think the WWE knows that, and they got to fix it up. And Ii Torres is kind of like the golden child of the Divas division right now. And not to say that she's not bad, she's not, but there's nothing for her to do. Really, I guess is a better way of doing it, saying it. Not to mention that, you know, who's she going to fight now? Especially now with the way the results happen at the end of the night tonight, you know, I don't know what's going to happen anymore with that. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I was, like, surprised that that little Battle Royal match, like, Natalya didn't get a push for Caitlyn. I mean, like, how Beth Phoenix was used and Natalya was used, they've been misused. I mean, the Divas, those Divas. I don't know. I think the problem that WWE has is when the Diva division's good, the tag team division struggles, and then when the tag team division's good, the Diva division struggles. They can't get both of them to be good at the same time. I don't know if that's just me. Or, you know, fans out there, they think the same thing. They just can't get both things going at, you know, right. So, I don't know. I was just shocked that, you know, I thought maybe they would have had Natalya get a push or something. Because I think that would have been interesting, Natalya and Eva feud. So, but, yeah, they need to do something with the Divas division. I don't know. It's just a little slacking.
I agree with that. There was a little bit of slacking on this division. We still have about 28 minutes left on the show. We're going to keep going forward to our three matches that we had for the evening. Next up was the World Heavyweight title match, and this is where I thought things were going to really shift around. The Big Show goes against Sheamus, and this was only a chair could be used in this match. These two definitely beat the hell out of each other with the chops and the chairs. Definitely a devastating match, and with the last six-man tag we had already, already took place, it was going to be very hard to follow up with a chairs match after what we just saw with the six-man tag. So what was your opinion on the Big Show defeating Sheamus with apparently the biggest, I think Ripley's, believe it or not, actually going to take that chair in because that was a big-ass chair.
Yeah, that's definitely a Big Show chair. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was an okay match. But, I mean, seeing Big Show winning was not a shock. But, yeah, that chair was huge. And I like the finish. I mean, Sheamus and Big Show, they work great together in the ring. You know, they had a few matches already. So, I mean, overall, I mean, it was an okay match.
I think Sheamus has officially been taken out of the World Heavyweight title feud. I think he's lost three matches in a row to Big Show. Not to say the other two weren't mysterious. Like, the last one, obviously, was a little different with the Survivor Series, how that went down. That was clearly shown in the recap how that went. You know, 30 chair shots ain't no – that ain't easy shots to take. I've taken chair shots, trust me. They ain't fun to take. But Sheamus definitely is always – I never say anything bad about Sheamus. Jay Aleto, who runs PWP Powerhouse, doesn't like Sheamus. Don't know why. I think as far as wrestling goes, I think he's a great, great athlete. And hopefully we'll see what happens when he goes full. But we do have a call right now. We're going to take this call, see what their opinion is about TLC. It's 843, the area code. Please say your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, my name is Patrick, and I'm calling from South Carolina.
Napoleon, how's your evening going?
Say that again. You're kind of breaking up a little bit. Say that again.
How's your night? How's everything? Is everything good?
No, I didn't hear. I didn't quite hear what you had said. Say it again.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you, my man?
Doing really well. We are talking about TLC, clearly, because that's what you know. Tell us a little bit about the Big Show Sheamus match. That's kind of our topic right now. What did you think of it?
It wasn't the best match. Well, no, I have to disagree with that, what I'm saying. It was actually a good match. You know, I was really expecting for Sheamus to actually win because Sheamus really put his all into this, but doing his whole feud and everything, it just seems like he's not able to beat the Big Show. Just like Ryback is getting screwed out of not beating CM Punk, just like John Cena gets screwed over to make the ratings more better for the pay-per-views and everything. So, actually, this is like a heel race. You know, it's probably going to keep being a heel race, and it's not probably going to quit anytime soon. I actually think that I actually would like it for Sheamus to win, but the way that things are set up, because I'm a big wrestling fanatic and I listen to other wrestling fans and everything, and they tell me that that's how it's supposed to be set up, that Big Show is going to be the champion. He's going to be the champion for a while, so, and he might lose the belt in maybe about two more months or so, but it's set up for him to, you know, get the belt. But I would actually like for Sheamus to win.
Well, this is a very strong, character as this goes. I think that this dude takes away the comedy that he does. I'm a fan of his comedy, but I do like his wrestling in the ring. I think he definitely brings out some great wrestling moves, old kind of rugged style wrestler, and brings out great, and I think his matches are never bad. I never have a complaint about any pay-per-view matches he has. Now, I have to go back to you, Nate, on this. Do you think the big chair was a little silly and kind of made it look like a little cheesy?
Yeah, he's not the same Big Show, and, you know, obviously he's an older guy, so his move's going to probably be off a little bit. He's probably not going to be that, you know, look at me, you know, I'm still the still fastest, still strongest type guy. I mean, he never was that fast, strong guy, but he is, you know, getting older. So, of course, it's felt, you know, it's going to be off. You know, the more older you get as a wrestler, most likely you tend to fall off as, you know, the perform in the ring and entertain the fans out there. So, you know, I have to, you know, agree with what you're saying, that he does look cheesy inside the ring, though, but he still wrestles good, you know, for his age, though. I give him that.
Nate, what's your opinion about using that big chair that he used on this show?
I thought it was a nice little spot, you know, the Big Show using a big chair. But, yeah, I mean, if that's the way he's got to beat Sheamus so well, you know. So
earlier in the evening, we had a Miz TV on a pay-per-view. We had the Miz interview, one of my favorite stables now, the three-man band, baby. One of my favorite, it looks like Patrick was. I was going to keep him on, but all right. Three-man band, Drew McIntyre, Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, a great, great, like, comedy-type group with a purpose on the roster. And, you know, it ended up happening where the three-man band started insulting the Spanish announce team, which took a lot of beating tonight, by the way. The Spanish announce team was getting insulted by the three-man band saying they're not American. And that's when we had Ricardo Rodriguez come out kind of defending them. And then out of nowhere, Alberto Del Rio comes out and attacks the three-man band. And eventually the Miz gets involved, setting up a three-on-three match, a six-man tag match for this time in the evening. Wow, Miz and Alberto Del Rio and their special guest, which a lot of people thought would be Zack Ryder, turns out to be the Brooklyn Brawler. And for those 1980s, you know, Nate, we all know about the Brooklyn Brawler. He did defeat Triple H before, and they went against a three-man band and defeated them with the Brooklyn Crab. What's your opinion of this match?
Yeah, I thought it was a nice little touch having the Brooklyn Brawler in Brooklyn fighting in the match. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was an okay match, but I mean, this is another little filler match that could have been on Raw. But I mean, it's very interesting to see. I mean, there was some talk maybe Alberto Del Rio turning face. I think that would be better because I think his like heel role is. I don't know what it is about Alberto Del Rio's heel persona, but I think he might be better off as a face. So you wonder if they're starting to turn Miz and Alberto Del Rio into maybe a tweener or a straight-up face role. But, I mean, I thought it was an okay match, but they could have saved it for Raw.
Well, they took two guys who I feel are very strong, heels, but yet they're still getting the crowd behind them in a way, to where now by kind of – you're kind of keeping them in the same role. The only difference now, they're going against people who no one likes. And that's really, I think, the difference between it. And that's my feeling on that with Alberto Del Rio. Now looks like it's going to get a little bit of a face turn here, which is definitely quite interesting with this kind of character that he is. Do you think you could see this getting over anyway?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think Alberto Del Rio could work as a face. Yeah, I mean, they like the announcer, Ricardo Rodriguez, so... I mean, I don't know. I just think his heel character is kind of a little stale. So, like I said, like the tweener kind of role, you know, and how they're doing with Miz. I think it will work for both of them in 2013. So,
we had a discussion on the show about how some people are feeling about the Miz's turn here, and some people are against it, some people are for it. You know, I guess he comes off a little cheesy in a way. I don't know if he does or if he is or he's not. But, you know, I love The Miz. I think what he does is great. I've always been a fan of him. And I think, you know, fans give him a little bit of a hard time. I don't know why now all of a sudden that they're giving him a hard time. But, again, this was a filler match. And the fans, I think, enjoyed it. The fact that the Brooklyn Brawler came out, got the win for them. And 3MB doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They got some pay-per-view time. And I can't say there's 2 6-on-6 two six-man tag matches in one show. Quite interesting how they went and did that. Although, of course, this one was a filler. Now it's time to talk about the main event of the evening. Dolph Ziggler. And this is a surprising main event of this evening. A lot of people thought that after the Big Show may have won, that Ziggler would cash in his money in the bank and actually become world heavyweight champion. And then defend that against John Cena. Some people, I think, were talking about that while I was on my Twitter feed. Do you think that would have been interesting if that happened?
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. I think I would have been interested if he came out and cashed it, then he wouldn't have to give up his briefcase to Cena, or they could have made it a world championship match. I mean, I thought that was kind of interesting if they did it, but no, I think they just played it safe.
Yeah, I think that putting John Cena at the end was the idea of getting the crowd really into it. And I know after I saw the Shield going, I was like, oh, my God, is the World Heavyweight title going to be the last match? And if it was, there had to be something big happening. But, yeah, I was very surprised at this match, which I didn't think got as much exposure as the six-man tag, you know, went to be the main event. But it is John Cena. But the best part is it's Dolph Ziggler in this main event. And Dolph Ziggler in the ladder match against John Cena, you know, pretty big moment for Ziggler. I mean, how do you think Ziggler overall performed before we get to the finish?
Oh, I mean, Ziggler's great. I mean, like I say on my show, Ziggler reminds me of Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, the way he can sell moves, how he can, you know, how he wrestles in the matches that he does. I mean, he's a great superstar. I mean, only thing really is a hit on him is his mic skills, but as long as he can get that going, he's a complete wrestler. And very big things for Dolph Ziggler, definitely in 2013.
Dolph Ziggler definitely always shows off an amazing moveset and selling set. And, you know, I think his mic skills are actually pretty good for where he's at. You know, he needs to get more heel heat. I think he's getting too many people liking him than hating him. You know, I think that's the biggest problem with Ziggler. You can clearly tell by the fans tonight. They were definitely split, but Ziggler did get, I think, a bigger reaction But the crowd was hot the entire time for this match. John Cena almost got the victory climb of the ladder, but AJ Lee screws John Cena, pushing him off the ladder into the rope. Ziggler gives him a nice little sweet chin music, super kick right to the face, and Ziggler just looks at it all weird, didn't understand what was going on, but he climbed the ladder, grabbed the briefcase, and he still, after all the odds, defeats the great John Cena, Superman Cena, in this main event tonight. What's your overall opinion of this match?
Well, I mean, it wasn't a clean put over Ziggler, because I don't think Cena would have did that. But, yeah, a little controversy. But like I was saying a lot of months ago, I just had a funny feeling somehow AJ was going to cost Cena the match. And now you just got to wonder if AJ is going to be a Ziggler kind of girl. So, I don't know. And stealing your girlfriend, like it says on his shirt. So, just have to wait and see.
Go with the gimmick. So, I don't think that's going to happen because clearly she attacked Vicky Guerrero. So, unless, you know, and I don't think he's going to go face because, you know, they have too many heels going face now, so he definitely can't be one of them. But AJ Lee attacked. We did see Vicky Guerrero come out ready to attack John Cena, but AJ Lee did pull the face move by attacking her. So, I think there's still going to be some animosity between, which I think lets Ziggler kind of be on his own now. I think he's now going to be officially by himself without Vicky at all. But the AJ thing, definitely, they wanted to burn that, I think. I think the idea was just to burn that after finding out about John Cena's new relationships, and it just didn't make any sense to keep AJ, you know, because John Cena is a figure in not only sports entertainment, but in entertainment itself. And he is going to be, he's a paparazzi guy, and people are going to see that, and then it does ruin storylines in a way. In fact, it ruins a lot of storylines half the time of what's going on outside of wrestling. And, you know, this was a thing where they had to put the kibosh on it, and this is the way to do it. I don't care if it was a screw-over or not. You know, I think Ziggler already proved to me that he is strong in this match. You know, we had some bruising in this match. John Cena got a little cut in his eye, and Dolph Ziggler got a scrape on his leg there. So we did see some pretty bad bruising in this match.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, this was a pretty good pay-per-view for some little injuries and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, I thought it was a pretty decent pay-per-view, you know, around maybe a 7 or so out of a 10. But,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, just the filler matches. But other than that, it was pretty good.
Yeah, there were, the Divas match was, and the six-man tag were the only two matches that were filler. Everything else was announced ahead of time. But I think we got some entertainment out of the six-man tag with 3MB and Miz TV. You know, they filled that in perfectly. I thought the flow of the show was actually very good, too, because, you know, we kind of went from each match kind of had the right time set as long as they were on. That's what I liked about it, too, is that I hate when matches are on a little too long. That's one thing I don't like. And, you know, I think the flow of the show was really good. I thought the right matches that were on the longest should have been on. You know, I mean, that six-man TLC match, that was on for quite a long time. That was a good 22 minutes. I don't know what the exact time of that was. I don't know if you know, but yeah.
The pay-per-view definitely was a good flow to it. Yeah.
So
no fillers, no fillers, commercials. They didn't have like 8,000 commercials and advertising this and that on their pay-per-view. I thought that was good.
Indeed. Yeah, that's absolutely true. We did see, we did not see any fillers. We saw some advertising for WWE Week coming up, which is this week. They're going to have a commercial-free SmackDown on Tuesday, which I'm definitely going to be looking forward to watching that. And they're going to have Tribute to the Troops on Wednesday. Definitely one of my favorite shows. And they announced that was JBL's idea. I did not know that. So I learned a little something new tonight that I had no clue that was the case. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good to see JBL, you know, supporting the troops and coming up with that idea. I mean, it's good to support the troops. I mean, for what they do and, you know, the long tours they do in Afghanistan and all around the world and stuff. So it's good to give back to the troops.
Absolutely. It says 22 minutes. It was that match, that six-man tag. So yeah, they got a lot of time in the ring tonight, a lot of exposure. You know, definitely a worth watching pay per view. I mean, if you had, let's say we had 12 pay per views out of the year for WWE, where would you put this one?
For the all 12 for this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd probably be one of the top maybe 3 or 4 pay per view of the year, I would think.
I would definitely put that up there. I would surpass it past SummerSlam and Survivor Series. I would say that, you know, the two hardcore pay per views of the year, which is Extreme Rules and TLC. So the two memorable things I get out of that is that Brock Lesnar completely destroyed John Cena, and The Shield made their debut and proved how strong, how these three young guys are so strong, and they had to put them over. I mean, that was just the main thing, is that putting the right people over on this show. I think every match, the right person won. Even though people say it's predictable, you know, that may be okay, and who cares if it's predictable? As long as they're putting out a good product, you can predict it all you want. I mean, yeah, we do like to be surprised, and, you know, we were surprised that, I mean, my surprise was that the Shield was not the main event on this show. I mean, do you think that should have been changed around?
I was thinking it was going to be maybe the second to last match, and then Cena and Ziggler would have been the final match. Either that or it would have been flip-flopped, you know? But, I mean, definitely I think Cena and Ziggler would have been the last match. But I thought The Shield was going to be maybe the second to last match of the night. That's surprising it was in the middle of the card. But it was a long match, so maybe that's why they put it in there, just to keep the fan heat going, or, you know, the crowd reaction, hopefully, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I thought that the way they ended Raw and the way they were building it up was to put The Shield on the top spot. I thought, because they're the main storyline right now, you know, people weren't taking this too seriously, the whole, you know, AJ Lee and John Cena thing. But clearly they put that to rest now. And, you know, and one thing that Ziggler did say, tonight changes everything, or everything changes. And I think going forward, I don't know what we're going to do with that briefcase, but where do you think he's going to cash that in now? Because now he's going to he defended his briefcase. He won it. He's one of the only guys that ever had to defend his briefcase and win it back. I think he's the only one that's ever, I think other than Rob Van Dam, I think he's the only other guy that's retained his Money in the Bank briefcase when it was on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking the last episode of Raw of 2012, I think he should cash it in, maybe in the final match. Maybe the Big Show is fighting somebody, and he cashes in, starts off the champion in 2013. I think that would be a great way to end Raw for 2012, Ziggler holding the world title. I think that would be huge going into Royal Rumble in 2013.
You know, it's very hard. You know, it is very hard to find out what's going to be, you know, the big match, you know, where Ziggler's going to use that briefcase. You know, I'm thinking that maybe he could use it at WrestleMania. Why not? I mean, I never understood why no one would want to cash in at WrestleMania to leave a WrestleMania moment, I would say. I think that would be the best spot for it, honestly. I could see that happening. But, again, we don't know what Ziggler is going to do yet with that. And we have to see what's going on Raw tomorrow night. We do have the Slammies tomorrow night. The big show in Philadelphia, which I believe Jay Leto will be attending. I am not going to be attending. In fact, all these Northeast shows in the area, I'm not attending one of them. You know, reason being, I just got my new computer, which I'm using tonight to broadcast tonight. But also, WrestleMania is coming around the corner. Nate, are you going to WrestleMania?
No, I mean, I don't even know how the weather's going to be. I mean, last winter, it was the best winter we had in the Northeast, but I don't think the lightning's going to strike twice. So it might be a cold April in New Jersey at the MetLife Stadium.
I've been there with last year's Cowboys and Giants game on New Year's Day, so I know how it feels to be in the cold rain. That was a pretty bad experience, but overall I had a good time. I mean, so this show I would definitely say was one of their top 4 shows of the year. I would say it surpasses TNA's Final Resolution of this month. Anybody that said they hated the show, I think could make a mistake, or either they didn't watch it or they have to have a very good reason not to like it. I mean, what are your final thoughts, Nate, on this whole show?
I mean, like I said, I thought it was a pretty good pay-per-view. You know, probably like one of the top 4 pay-per-views of the year for the WWE, at least. Hopefully going into 2013, I know a lot of people complain about WWE's product and how it's just slacking off. I mean, hopefully TNA can improve and force the issue with WWE, you know. That's all I'm hoping, some competition and force Vince. I guess Vince is trying to change the product maybe to back to TV-14 and sometime in 2013, but we'll just have to wait and see. But, I mean, overall, it was a good pay-per-view, a good way to end it for WWE in 2012.
And, yes, absolutely. This will be our final pay-per-view recap of the show. Nate, I want to thank you very much for calling in to the show. I do appreciate a little co-host action. Make sure you hit me up on the Facebook. You can look me up either at TLD or at TLD Wrestling on Twitter. I know you're not a Twitter guy anymore, but you can look me up on there. And I want to thank you for coming onto the show. Bravo performance, I must say.
Thanks again for having me on the show, and take care and happy holidays to you.
Thank you very much. I'm Catholic, so I'm Christmas. So
okay, take care.
All right, take care, Nate. Thank you very much. A great show tonight. I'd like to thank Nate for calling in. I'd like to thank Patrick as well for calling in. And all the fans who are listening, remember, you can hear us every Tuesday night. We always have a show at 9 o'clock to review what happened on Raw. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about what happened here at TLC and see what the fallout is of the Slammy Awards and see who won, who lost, and what's going to come out of this pay-per-view and what's going to be the follow-up on Monday Night Raw. So make sure you check us out on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. We will have the other show, Oh You Didn't Know, which is all news and rumors. Usually that's on a Wednesday night. Not sure if that's on or not, so don't quote me on when that is. But I want to thank everybody, especially Jay Leto, for giving me the opportunity to be the host of this show. Let's get to the plugs. Make sure you go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check out. We are an article-based website where you can even write your own articles. Join up. We are still going to be doing the PWP Awards to recognize all those men and women who did great in wrestling this year and to honor them with a PWP TV show. That's going to be filming very soon, and we will get it on the air hopefully before the New Year's out. If not, we'll have it ready for the new year. Make sure you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Check us out on there. We are chatting all day long. Trust me. I look at my notifications. I get them all the time. So everyone's posting and having a good time. On Twitter, you can get us at PW Powerhouse. You can get us. Add us on there. Continue the discussion of what's going on. Hashtag PWP Radio as well, so that way you can get your messages read on the air. No one wrote on the air, so guess what? I had nothing to write about. That's okay. Remember to get this show on iTunes. We will always have every show on Blog Talk Radio on iTunes. We have so many shows up there. You can listen to some past discussions as well as some interviews that we have with some pro wrestlers out there. That's right. Some of the Ring of Honor. We have Ring of Honor. We also have PWS, Pro Wrestling Syndicate wrestlers also joining us. So we do have some great interviews if you want to hear them. And make sure for the holidays, if you're buying your stuff, go to Amazon. And you can go check out our page to buy some stuff for your family members and help support the show. We can always use your support. And I am TLD on TLDWrestling.com. You can check out all of my great stuff on there as well. Got some great TLD merchandise for your holiday. And for you fans who are still listening in, you will get a special 4% off of all my TLD merchandise. You can't get that anywhere else. You got to go to TLDWrestling.com. So thank you very much. We're going to end on a TLD theme note. And everyone have a happy holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. Happy Valentine's Day.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Why everything, Dennis? I'm TLD.
Brand new deals that we have at TLDWrestling.com.
I love this stuff.
TLD.
TLD merchandise only available at where? That's right, TLDWrestling.com.
Because I'm a 2001 Golden Gloves Heavyweight Champion.
That's the TLD Bear is still around.